Welcome back to Friends Bible Study. Today we're going to look at the second section in John chapter 3, verses 13 to 21, which I've entitled, God Loves the World. Our simple approach to Friends Bible Study is to read, write, share, and listen. Read the chapter, John chapter 3, every day of this week. Every day, think and meditate and write down your thoughts, observations, reflections, insights, and meditate on the word as we discussed yesterday from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Meditate on his word day and night. Think about it, chew it, and allow the Spirit of God to show you the meaning and to speak to you from it. Write down what God is showing you and saying to you. And then we want to also focus every day on how do we trust and obey Jesus from our time in the Word. And one of the main ways we apply His Word is through loving and serving others. Share the Word daily with your sharing partner. This will be a huge blessing to you and to them. So as we come to the Word today, I want to challenge you. Hear the Word of the Lord today. Let's soften our hearts, open our minds and hearts, and ask the Lord to teach us. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. And that you promise to be our teacher, to guide us into all truth. And so we ask that you would speak to us and teach us how to meditate, teach us how to think, and how to listen to you. We pray in your name. Amen. Now, as side comment on the verse, 1 Corinthians 1, 16 and 1:16, it says that the man without the Spirit cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Well, this is true, but it doesn't mean we don't use our minds. We should use our minds. We need to study the Scripture diligently. And this is part of meditation. It's a part of what it means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Meditation includes studying and thinking deeply about the Scripture. As we learned last week and focused on last week in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. But we're not simply trying to analyze the Scripture or understand it through our human intellect alone. We must have the leading guidance and illumination of the Spirit of God to understand His Word. Last time, we looked at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13, which is the account of Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And in that section are Jesus' very famous words, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The next session, verses 13 to 21, I've entitled, God Loves the World. So let's look at verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus, this is still part of that story, knew the account of the serpent put on a pole in Numbers chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. It's a story about sin. Israel rebelled against God, and he punished them by sending serpents that bit the people. Many of them died. But it's also a story about grace. Moses prayed for the people. Then God told Moses to make a brass serpent and to lift it up on a pole. Anyone who had been bitten by a snake was healed immediately when they looked at the serpent that had been lifted up. This is a picture of saving faith. People are saved by looking to Jesus, who was lifted up on a cross and took the punishment for our sins. Just as the serpent was lifted up on the pole, so the Son of Man would be lifted up on the cross to save us from sin and death. this word lifted up often refers to the crucifixion in the Gospel of John. The whole world has been bitten by sin and have tasted its deathly fruit. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." But God sent his Son to die, not only for Israel, but for the whole world. In the account of Nicodemus, we considered the last time the question, how is a person born again? How are they born from above? How are we saved from eternal death and punishment? Well, we're saved simply by believing in Jesus and looking to him in faith, just as the people in the wilderness looked at the serpent on the pole. And now we come to this wonderful verse, precious verse, that gives us further insight on salvation. Verse 16, undoubtedly the most famous verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I asked you in the meditation questions to describe God's love for the world from John 3:16 in your own words, in words that you would be able to share with a friend. Well, this is what I wrote. This is my summation of John 3:16. "God loved everyone in the world so much that he gave his only Son to die as a sacrifice for our sins, so that anyone who believes in him will not face eternal death and punishment in hell, but will experience life in him now and forever." Jesus was lifted up on a cross for our sins. Someone said it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross, it was love. God loves all people. Jesus died on the cross so that no one would have to go to hell, so that no one would face eternal death and punishment. God loves every man, woman, boy, and girl so much that he allowed his own Son to suffer and die in our place. 1 John 4:9-10 say it like this. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Hell is a place of eternal conscious torment and eternal separation from God. I could give you many scriptures to show this. But in order to understand the love of God, we must also understand the wrath of God. And we'll discuss this further in the last section of John chapter 3. We need to understand that salvation is not a cheap ticket to heaven just so that we can be happy and have bliss after we die. Jesus paid for our salvation with his own life so that we can live in a love relationship with God. We have all sinned against God and face eternal death. We deserve judgment because our hearts are dirty. We have not honored God, and we have broken his laws again and again. But God still loved us in spite of our sin, in spite of our self-centeredness and rebellion against him. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He loved us and paid the price for our salvation while we were still in sin and rebellion against him. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son to die on the cross to bear the punishment for our sins. He did this so that we would not go to hell, so that we would have eternal life with him. This is the message of John 3:16. God is a righteous God, but also a God of love and forgiveness. The cross is the greatest symbol of God's eternal love and forgiveness for you and for me. May God give us a greater understanding of the cross every day so that we may know the love and mercy of God expressed through the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf on the cross. So I would like to challenge everyone listening to this, whenever you get a chance, as God leads, share John 3:16 with your friends, or if people are open. Of course, it has to be the Spirit's leading, but be prepared to share the gospel through John 3:16, and I believe people will come to faith in Christ, and the Holy Spirit will speak to them as we share this powerful and wonderful verse. Verse 17, it says, God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who doesn't believe has already been judged, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. So why will people be condemned? Well, this is a question we can think about from these verses. The difference between perishing and living, and between condemnation and salvation, is faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus could have come into the world to judge and destroy every rebellious sinner, meaning everyone, but he came to demonstrate his unconditional love, the love of God for a lost world. He came to this world as Savior. He bore the guilt and shame of the cross. He died in our place and took our judgment. He was condemned for my sins, for your sins, so that we would not be condemned by God. This is why we are not condemned, and why we will not face judgment for our sins. Jesus took the punishment, the judgment, the guilt, and the shame of all of our sins, the sins of the whole world. We are no longer guilty or condemned. Our sin has been removed, and nothing can be held against us. Jesus did for us what we could never, not possibly do for ourselves. We are free from guilt and shame and condemnation through the cross of Christ. Jesus did not come to the world to condemn us, but to set us free from sin and condemnation. And a little side note, we should remember that we have no business condemning people in the world. That's God's job. Our job is to tell them of the love and grace and mercy of God demonstrated on the cross for us all, for the whole world. And now, verses 19 through 21. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his works be exposed. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, and his work, that his works may be revealed, and that they may be done in God. Seems like I misread that a little bit. We'll come across it again, sorry. So we have two choices. All human beings have two choices. Choice one, we accept God's free gift of salvation that isn't dependent on our efforts to be righteous, but depends completely on what Jesus did for us on the cross. He shed his blood to forgive our sins. He was judged in our place so that we would not face judgment and condemnation. This is choice number one, seen in verse 21. He who does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be revealed, that they have been done in God. Believing in Jesus means to respond to the light God has given us, and to believe him and to follow him. Choice two, we have the choice of rejecting the light and to remain in darkness, as seen in verses 19 and 20. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest the works be exposed. Those who hate the light reject God's offer of grace and mercy. He offers them freedom from judgment, forgiveness for sin. But if people reject the light and don't receive the free gift of salvation, then they will be judged and condemned, because they haven't been forgiven and haven't received the grace of the cross. That is the only means of salvation. God does not want anyone to be condemned or go to hell, and that's why he sent Jesus, who paid the price for us. It is a free gift by the grace of God. We can choose to reject the gift of grace, and that is why some people will be condemned. The wages of sin is death. Our sins make us all guilty before God, and someday we will all stand before God. If we've received that gift of salvation, it says there's no more judgment for us. But if we reject that gift of forgiveness, then we will be judged. It's all a matter of our choice. So I urge anyone who is listening today to put your faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ today. Accept the free gift of salvation through the cross. As I have often quoted, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. The time to respond to him is now, today. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this passage and especially for John 3:16, that you love the world so much that you sacrificed your one and only Son on our behalf to die in our place, that we would be forgiven and set free eternally to become your children, to be born again, and to have eternal life with you. Thank you for your love. Reveal your love to everyone listening to this today and to every day to us, and give us greater insight of the love and mercy and grace of the cross. We thank you and pray in your name. Amen.